we're going to go back to about every point to a verse in 1 Corinthians 11. So if you want to hold your place, we'll be there a lot tonight. So if you don't want to look at every scripture, but maybe some of them, you can at least look at those tonight. We're going to, I'll give the same gift I gave this morning, and it'll be nice and easy, Brother John. It was too easy for you this morning, so we're going to be skipping around more tonight. Can you hear me okay? I put it in my pocket because I popped my clip. I don't feel like fighting with it right now. Am I okay? That's not going to affect it, is it? Sure? Good. I'll be okay with it in my pocket. I'll fix it. I won't be looking at you for thumbs up or thumbs down. You might give me a thumbs down. I think you might not like my point, and I might park on it harder or something. You know. You can never fix things when everybody's staring at you. Just know that. It's too much pressure. I can't handle it. The stress here. Look at that. Boom. Boom. Where's my IT guy there? Brother Eric. I like the visitors this morning. This guy's like me. He's a radio operator. This guy's 0311, you know. it sounded like when you're at a ball game at the home team. And now, and then the other team comes out, number 23, you know, Michael Jordan. So this is just an 0311. Amen. We there in Luke 22? I'll pray, and we'll get some Bible tonight. What we're going to do tonight, tonight's message will be about the Lord's Supper. We do have the Lord's Supper tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper and the message. After the message, instead of having a traditional altar call, for those watching live stream, we'll cut the live stream, and we'll go into the Lord's Supper after the message, most likely instead of a traditional altar call like we have. And for those watching live stream, just say there's lots of things we can do live stream, but Lord's Supper is one of those things. The Lord's Supper is the family sitting around the table. It's one of the things it is. It's God's family coming together, and it's just one of those things you don't do, in my personal belief, you don't do live stream, and it's just the family. You don't live stream your family having supper. That's just for you and your family only. And when we have the Lord's Supper, that's just for those here only, so that will be cut, the live stream about that time. But we're going to be in Luke, and this is the verses we always quote, and I've always quoted these verses. I think every church I've been in with the Lord's Supper used these two verses right here. Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 19, is going. Let me pray. I don't think I've prayed. Heavenly Father, forgive me. I almost started without praying, and God, forgive me for that. And God, I do pray you help me, and please don't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, a sound mind. And God, as we try to transition tonight, focus on you, focus on the cross, focus on the meaning of this very, very important institution, ordinance, memorial that you've given to us. God, no way I can do you justice. No way I can do that. But God, I just pray as best as a sinful man can do, you help me glorify you and edify the church tonight. No, God, please don't give me the spirit of fear, of power and love, of a sound mind. Help us tonight and help us just thank you for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Jesus is getting ready. That's literally the Last Supper, as it's called sometimes, the Lord's Supper. And for those who might not know, this is the Passover meal. This is what they've been doing, and we're supposed to have been doing ever since the children of Israel came out of the wilderness. This is this Passover. And as they've been having this Passover meal, But this Passover meal was really the last time the Jewish nation would need to do the Passover meal. And this Passover meal, Jesus Christ is saying he's changing this institution from a Passover meal to what we call the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Supper. Verse 22, verses 19 and 20, as he's having this Passover meal with his disciples, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." I believe these are words they've never heard at the Passover. They've seen the traditions of the Passover their whole lives. They're grown men now, and much like we might have a tradition, or in your life there might be a tradition, and there are certain things that happen. I think these words broke the norm of their tradition. When Jesus Christ said, "Do this remembrance of me," when he said, "My blood." I don't believe, and he said these things any other time except for this last one, because now he's getting ready to go to the cross. Now the Old Testament, the veil of the temple is about to be written to, and now there's a new covenant and a better covenant. And this is a symbol of the better covenant and of a new covenant. And he says this old covenant is about to go away, and now there's about to be a new covenant, this Lord's Supper, to where now this salvation of the cross is about to happen. I don't think the disciples understood it, to be honest with you. I don't think they understood at all what he was talking about. I think we can look at a lot of scripture to show they did not understand what he was talking about. Then in John 14, 26, again, the last week, during the last week of his life before the cross, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And even though this was kind of taught to them, I don't think they understood what was taught to them. And he said, "Don't worry, there's going to be a day the Holy Spirit comes and you're going to understand it then, and he's going to help you then." And we know a little more than 50 days later, there was a day of Pentecost, and we know the Holy Spirit came. We know St. Peter preached. We know over 3,000 people accepted Christ, their Savior, and there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know Scripture was understood unlike any other time before during that, after that, because now we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to teach us the Word of God. And we know from 1 Peter, he says, basically, and from the books, writings of Peter, after him, once he got the Holy Spirit, now all of a sudden some of these things he understood that he didn't understand to begin with. We're going to talk today on this Memorial Day as about a time of remembrance. And of course, tomorrow's a day set aside after the Civil War. It was originally called Declaration Day. And instead of Memorial Day, and it was a time to decorate the graves, and the North would have one time to decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers, and the South would have another time to decorate another day to decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers of the South, and it was Declaration Day. But after World War I and the loss of American lives of World War I, it became a unified day, and it became a day not just remember the Civil War dead, but all of the fallen. And America had what we call Memorial Day, and started celebrating and started having this day of memorial to decorate the graves and remember the fallen heroes. And just like we have a day to remember our fallen heroes, Christ says, "Hey, I want to be remembered, and I want the cross to be remembered." And he said right here in Luke chapter 22, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we do this Lord's Supper most importantly to remember the cross. To remember what Christ did for us on the cross, without a doubt, is the most important reason. And we're going to talk about a handful of reasons tonight. We do the Lord's Supper, but it's to remember the sacrifice it took to pay for my sins and your sins, is why we do this Lord's Supper. As we look at this tonight, number one, as we look at remember tonight, and things we ought to remember, and the Lord's Supper, things the Lord's Supper should help us remember. Remember the joy of Christian fellowship. Hey, don't ever forget the joy. Don't ever take for granted the joy of Christian fellowship. I'll say it again. Something I said this morning is, in my 17 years of pastoring, this one thing I've wished I'd done more is just try to enjoy what God has given me more. And I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about people, the people God has given me more. I think of Grandma Burwell and just an amazing lady. That's Pastor Burwell's mom, and Grandma Burwell is in her 80s, and she's a short, I think she's like 4'11", and wore high heels. And I remember 80 years old on her hands and knees coming to church, and her just on her hands and knees scrubbing the tile of the church. She was a lady that always sing. She'd always sing it. She'd always quote, "I walk the line," because of her son, Pastor Burwell, and he makes her walk the line. And just a sweet, sweet lady. But you know, I wish I'd done more visits and got to know Grandma Burwell more before God took her to heaven. I wished I wasn't so stressed out and trying to build a ministry that I enjoyed the people that God gave me. I think of other people that might have come and gone through the years, and I'm like, I wished I enjoyed them more in the time and just enjoyed what God gave me. Instead of always asking God, we are called to go into highways and hedges to compel them to come in. But at the same time, God gave us a local church to enjoy. And he gave us fellow believers to enjoy. And he said, hey, do this remembrance of me. He says, hey, enjoy what I've given you. Enjoy the family that I've given you. Hey, enjoy the wife, husbands that God has given you. Wives, enjoy the husband that God's given you. Hey, young people, enjoy the mom and dad that God's given you, that's got you in the house of God tonight, that teaches you the Bible, that teaches you about a salvation. There's many, 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 many kids all over this world that have never heard the gospel, never heard a single Bible story, and you've got a mom and dad on a Sunday night, got you in the house of God. Hey, enjoy what God has given you. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And of course, the background of the Philippian church, it started in prison. And it started with Paul being in prison and Paul being beaten and Paul praising God at the midnight hour. And he says, I thank God for this special church, but I thank God when I remember you. I think he had times of his life. He says, I thank God for that time, thinking back with that jailer who was a man that abused Paul, and now he became an amazing man in the church. And thinking back to the women in the church that were down by the river praying because there wasn't a synagogue in the church, and how they got saved. And thinking about the sweet spirit. He says, hey, I sat there in my life when I'm in my prison cells, and I look back, hey, and I'm glad that I enjoyed the moment. And I'm glad I enjoyed church when I had opportunity to enjoy church. Hey, Christians, let's enjoy our salvation. Let's enjoy God. Let's enjoy reading our Bible. Let's enjoy praying. But let's enjoy each other. Churches shouldn't be a chore. Now, I understand we got chores at church. Amen. But church shouldn't be a chore. And I understand things need to happen at church and work needs to happen at church. But it should be a joy to serve the Lord. God's yoke is easy. His yoke is light. And if church is too much of a chore and church is too much of a burden, we need to talk. Because something's not clicking right in our spiritual lives. It should be a joy to come see people. And I'll just confess, not every single time I come into church am I excited to come into church. But when I leave church, I'm glad I went to church. Amen. Just to let you know. Just to get it out there. There's plenty of times I would like to sleep in too. And continue my Sunday afternoon nap also. But sure, I'm glad I went to church. Sure, I'm glad I enjoyed the people. Sure, I'm glad I enjoyed the fellowship. Sure, I'm glad I did the work it needs to go to church. He says, I thank God and remember to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33 is literally the instructions of the Lord's Supper. There's more in that one chapter of the Lord's Supper than anywhere else in the Bible, and it's what we often go to for the Lord's Supper. That I have through the years. I'll be showing you some verses with every point from Corinthians to back up my point of what I'm saying. He talks about the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Spend time with one another. Enjoy one another. Hang out a little bit longer with one another. You know, I know the preacher, you know, it's funny, everybody complains about the preacher's long sermons, but you know, after a long sermon, everybody's still here talking. 45 minutes later, I'm thinking, man, I could have preached an extra 30 minutes. They don't seem like they're in a hurry to leave. Praise the Lord for that tearing one for another. We shouldn't, everyone, and I know sometimes we have schedules and things to do and places to go. I understand that. But I'm talking about as a daily thing in our life. We shouldn't be in a hurry to get out. And we should enjoy the church and enjoy what Jesus died for. And we have this Lord's Supper as a time to come around the table, as a time to remind us it's family supper time. And it's time for God's people to enjoy God's people. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. Number two, we have this Lord's Supper, a time of remembrance, a time to remember your sins no more. Hebrews is full of just Old Testament and explaining the Old Testament and explaining the difference between Old Testament, New Testament, the old sacrifice and new sacrifice. Just a powerful, powerful book of the Bible. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, he's explaining these Old Testament sacrifices. He says, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not have the very image of things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." So he's saying those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't make them perfect. Every year they had to bring them, but it can never make them perfect. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." Verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year." Every time they brought their lambs to the altar, every time they brought their sacrifices to the altar, you know what came with that lamb and with those sacrifices? All of their sins that they did that year. And all of that condemnation from what they've done. Oh, there was no forgiveness. It had built up all over again. The debt needed to be paid. It wasn't paid in full. And once again, that guilt and that shame of their sins was brought to the altar again. And they'd bring the lamb to the altar, and they'd bring the sacrifice to the altar. But with that was their guilt and their shame, as they'd be overwhelmed once again every year with guilt and shame. Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." But when you look at Corinthians, and he's talking about the Lord's Supper, chapter 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." We don't have this Lord's Supper as a time of condemnation. We don't have this time, the Lord's Supper, as a time for our shame. This is a time of celebration. We're showing that our sins are paid in full. There's no condemnation. We are free. We are justified. We are sanctified. We don't need to beat ourselves up about the past. The past has been paid for. I like what I've been saying here lately is, when Jesus died on the cross, how many sins did you have? Well, Rob Green wasn't thought of yet, only by God, but nobody else was I thought of yet. And yet on that cross, he paid for all of my sins in full. I had no sins yet when he died on that cross, as far as man is concerned. I know God, who is eternal, all knew my sins and knew what I would do. But as far as man can see, I had no sins. But Jesus paid for them in full. And my sins were paid for before I was ever born. And my friend, so when you got saved, your sins were paid for of your past, present, and yes, even future. And no, that's not a license to sin. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But it's also not a license to go beat yourself up about your past. Remember, your sins are no more. Remember, your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Number next tonight, remember God's vengeance. Going back to Hebrews again and talking about the vengeance of God. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're in that same chapter. "Of how much more sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Verse 30, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompose, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." This is New Testament, my friend. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a fight of afflictions." Going to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, there's a warning of this Lord's Supper. There's a warning of not taking it seriously. There's a warning of making a mockery of it. There's a warning of taking it when you're not saved as a Christian. In verse 27 through 30, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause shall many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said, my sins are gone, and this is not a time to sit there and sit there and beat myself over my sins, and it's not. But it's also not a time to be careless with our sins. It's a time to look in a spiritual mirror and to say, God, is there what's in my life do I need to get right? What's in my life I can do better? Who in my life do I need to forgive? What changes do I need to make in my life? He said, don't eat of this bread. And I'll say this, to take the Lord's Supper, the qualifications is salvation and baptism, to take the Lord's Supper. But then it's a personal. A lot of churches will have the Lord's Supper and they think maybe it's the pastor makes that decision. It's not the pastor makes that decision. The vilest of sinner can come in here and take the Lord's Supper with Calvary Road Baptist Church because the Bible says let a man examine himself. But if the vilest of sinner comes in here and take and eats the Lord's Supper, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And that's between them and God. This is not a pastor is not involved in the Lord's Supper. I'm not a priest. So many Baptist churches have a Catholic view of the Lord's Supper. No. We're not Catholics, we're Baptists. And we believe in individual soul liberty, and we believe that you go to God. It's my job to tell you what the Bible says. It's my job to tell you to examine yourself. And it's your job to do that, to do your job. And that's between you and God. I would tell moms and dads, it's moms and dads' decision. If your kids take the Lord's Supper, you're still over that child. And you know if your child is saved, you know if they're baptized, and you know if they're spiritually can understand what they're doing. And that's the pastor might not know that, but mom and dad should know that. But this is something between the individual. This Lord's Supper is a time between you and God. And yes, we're coming to the Lord as a family, but it's a time of you and God to make this decision. You know your life. You know what you've looked at online and on your phone, if it's stuff you shouldn't be looking at. You know your secret sins. You know your addictions. You know that. It's not a time for me to examine you. It's a time to let the Holy Spirit of God examine you. And thank God for that comforting, how God comforts us when He tells us we're doing wrong. And just the comforting conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. See, it's not condemnation when God deals with you. It's comforting conviction when you're a saint of God. And thank God for that. Number next, remember to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful to in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. 1 Peter chapter skip down to verse 11 and 12, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. Peter's telling the church, he said, don't stop growing. Don't stop getting closer to God. Don't stop growing. We look at the Corinthian church in chapter 11, verses 2, and I'll then jump down to 17 and 18. You looked at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 11. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Say, this is a good thing that you keep the ordinances of the church. It's a good thing that you keep baptism, that you keep the Lord's Supper. It's a good thing. But then he talked about how you're keeping them. Verse 17. Now this is that I declare unto you, I praise you. In verse 17, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there will be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. We have the instructions for the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 because it was a church full of fighting. It was a church full of gross immorality. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, when you do this Lord's Supper, you're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. You're fighting, you're bickering, you're making a gluttonous feast out of it. He says this is not what Christ intended when he gave his instructions for the Lord's Supper. He said this was a church that had the Apostle Paul, they had the Apostle Peter, they had Apollos, they had the greatest orators, the most Holy Spirit-filled men, the men of most knowledge of all the New Testament, of all the early church. And yet with the greatest teachers and the greatest Christians in front of them, they weren't doing right. Oh, my friend, we can bring the greatest preachers, the greatest Christians, the most spiritual people of the land, and the greatest orators of the land. But at the end of the day, it's your decision to do right and to follow the Bible. It's your decision. We don't get our spirituality by those that we're around. We don't get our spirituality by who our parents are or who our pastor is. But it's your own personal walk with God. You need to be growing. You need to be growing in the Lord. Because this was supposed to be a great church, the Corinthian church. And when you do get to 2 Corinthians, praise the Lord, they did repent. But at that time when Paul was writing, it was not so great. Let's not stop growing in the Lord. Number five, remember, because there will be opposition. There will be opposition. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Peter warns the church. He says, hey, there's going to be scoffers. Let me stir you up. Let me put you in remembrance. Not everybody's going to get saved. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to enjoy the message. Not every day is going to be a bed of roses. There will be family that doesn't like it, friends that don't like it. There will be family that doesn't want to talk to you anymore, friends that don't want to talk to you anymore. He says, let me put you in remembrance of what Christ did for you, though. You get to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He says, let me remind you what happened this night. Can I remind you what happened the night the Lord's Supper was instituted? Can I remind you that the man that Jesus Christ kissed and called friend betrayed him? Can I remind you that this was the night that his friends left him and only John, the beloved, stayed by his side? Can I remind you the night that this was? It was, we call it Good Friday. It was good for us because it was the day that our sins were forgiven, our sins were paid for. But it's the darkest day in human history that shows that man will stoop to no level, that man would murder God if you would let him. And we still have plenty of people in this world that would murder God if he would let them, that hate God that much. Can I remind you, there's always going to be God haters and God betrayers. So let me stir you up. God is still good. God is still on the throne. God still loves you. The Word of God is still true. It doesn't matter what the naysayers of the world says. It doesn't matter what the lies of the devil says. And those that share the lies of the devil says, at the end of the day, we win. And I've read the book, we win. Amen. Amen. Things we should remember during the Lord's Supper. A time of remembrance. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I'm going to ask my ushers to come forward, and I'll say a few words, and then we'll begin the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this Lord's Supper. I do pray, God, that we can do this decently in order for your glory tonight, God. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for this ordinance that you've given us. And God, forgive this church. We haven't done it enough. And God, I'm sorry. And help us do this ordinance more and as you've commanded. God, help us tonight. Remember you. Remember the cross. Remember your sacrifice. Help us tonight take a good look at ourselves. Help us tonight to get stirred up so we can stand strong in a world full of scoffers. God, give us what we need, oh God, please. Oh God, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Josh, can you pray for the bread, please?